second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." May the Lord bless this reading and our understanding of it this morning. Well, thank you to the ladies from the Quilts of Valor. Where'd they all go? I know Nancy's here somewhere. Thank you, Nancy, and please pass along our gratitude to the Quilts of Valor organization. I really didn't expect to get teared up over that, but couldn't help it, especially when I was standing next to Carol. But thank you all very much. We appreciate so much your gratitude. Well, today's scripture lesson is one of several parables in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus describes his second coming and what the end times will be like. Our scripture today begins with the words, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this." Now, we've read and we've discussed many of these kingdom messages over the past several months. And when we read these passages, sometimes it's easy for us to figure out what's being said. At other times, it's more difficult. And to be honest, this is one of the ones I have found more difficult over the years. What is the significance of the oil, for instance? What does that mean? And who is the groomsman? And why is he late? These are just a couple of questions that I've pondered. And if we go back and we read some of the other things that are happening around these scriptures, we get a better idea of what the message is and what the meaning of this parable of the wise and the foolish bridesmaids is all about. One theme we can pick up on is the uncertainty of when Christ will return. In the chapter before this one, Matthew 24, 36 said, "But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." And then in verse 44, Jesus says, "Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." So these verses speak to being watchful and prepared, the same message that Ruth gave to our children this morning. And not just some of the time, but all of the time. Just like the wise bridesmaids, we are to plan ahead. We are to anticipate our needs and be prepared for the coming of our Lord, whether that be soon or whether that be many years to come. Well, let me ask you a question. How often do you think about the return of Jesus Christ? If you're like me, it's really not something you think about much. There are so many other things for us to be thinking about, things to be worrying about. Just the everyday activities of life can consume us. I talk to young families today, and they have so many things going on, so many activities, that they struggle just to have time for dinner together. So who has time to ponder God's words regarding the end of time? And yet, Christ's return is a foundation of our faith. The Apostles' Creed includes the coming of Christ as one of the key elements that we acknowledge as Christians. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day he rose again and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, from where he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Those are words we recite in the Apostles' Creed. It's on page 881 in your hymnals. Well, as disciples of Jesus Christ, our lives are to be shaped by these words and by the knowledge that Christ will indeed return. Given these two things, then, the promise of Christ's return and the uncertainty as to when Christ will come, what should we be busy doing? What should we be about? It seems clear that we're told to be ready, to be awake and aware and looking for Christ. But what is the symbolism, as I mentioned, of the oil and the lamp? What is it that we need to have enough of to make sure that our lamps stay lit and that we are ready to enter into the wedding celebration? Well, this parable of the 10 bridesmaids is sandwiched between two passages that talk about being prepared for the Master's return. The prior passage, I read some of it from Matthew 24, contrast the faithful and the wise slave who is working when his master comes. And it compares that with the self-indulgent slave who mistreats others and is surprised when the master appears. The passage that follows this one in Matthew 25, verse 14, is a parable in which the master entrusts his property to the slaves and then expects their diligent investment. Both parables emphasize the actions of the slaves while the master is away. See, their faithfulness is known through what they do while he is gone. I believe these other parables give us some insight into what we're to be found doing when Christ returns. God expects us as followers of Jesus Christ to be busy. What we do and the attitude we have when we do God's work are extremely important. And in our time on earth, we are told to be about the business of God and of Jesus Christ. In the parable that follows, Jesus describes a man that gives his slaves talents. I know you've heard this before. To one he gives 5 talents, to another 2, and to another he gives 1. And then he goes away. Now, a talent, in this instance, is a unit of weight. And it's used to measure a quantity of gold or silver, precious metals. And a talent of gold would have been extremely valuable. One table I looked up described a talent as the equivalent of 37 kilograms, or around 81.5 pounds. So if you got 5 talents of gold, that's a lot of gold. Each of the slaves was expected to use the money the master had left them to invest it wisely and to multiply the wealth of the master while they are away. So while this definition of talent is a weight, I like to think of talents a little differently. You see, God blesses each of us with spiritual gifts and abilities, or talents. These abilities are what make us unique and valuable in the body of Christ. And it's God's desire and expectation that we use them, that we invest them in order to be doing the work of God's kingdom. So maybe part of this message today is to encourage us not to hide our talents, but to be busy using them as God intended. The bridesmaid's parable also points to the importance of readiness. The last verse says, "Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." And it points us toward a message of watchfulness. It suggests that the foolish bridesmaids were not sufficiently prepared. But I don't think the point of this parable is that we be in a constant state of readiness, always awake and vigilant. It doesn't imply, for instance, that we can't sleep. In fact, if you look at the scripture, it says all the bridesmaids were sleeping. Even the foolish and the wise ones, even the wise ones were sleeping when the shout comes that the bridegroom has arrived. What is distinctive about this parable is its focus on the delayed return. The passage does not simply call for right action in the groom's absence. It calls for recognition that the return may be delayed. In this parable, the wise disciple is the one who prepares not only for the bridegroom's arrival, but also for his delay. If the groom were coming quickly, there would have been nothing wrong with grabbing our lamps, with whatever oil was in them, and being there at the feast. But the wise disciple packs a supply of oil in anticipation that the bridegroom may be unpredictable. So what can we learn from this message? What is the oil that we need to make sure we have enough of? It's difficult for many of us to imagine ourselves as anything like the bridesmaids, wise or foolish, because to be honest, most of us have stopped waiting. We give little thought to Christ's return, let alone what we should do to prepare for it. And if we were to envision ourselves relative to the end of time, it would be easier to imagine ourselves as the slaves who work diligently while the master is away, rather than as a bridesmaid whose job is simply to wait for the groom to show up. Now, this isn't something we need to be ashamed of or feel bad about. After the passage of 2,000 years, we've kind of gotten used to the idea of Jesus not being physically present with us. 2,000 years is a long time. Despite this, there are still things that we can learn from the perspective of the bridesmaid. The parable asks us to imagine that we're the ones waiting for the groom to arrive. When the groom arrives, the feast will begin. I always love verses that refer to being with God as a heavenly feast, maybe because I like to eat so much. But the banquet is going to be a time of great joy and of reunion with loved ones. The failures and the weaknesses of our physical bodies will be replaced by righteousness and praise. We are going to be present with God, present with our loved ones, and our feast will be spectacular. This is the wedding that the bridesmaids are waiting for. God's word describes it like this. See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. We await not just a feast. We wait for the end of suffering and pain. And we wait to act as wise, we want to act as wise bridesmaids, because we want to affirm our faith in these events and affirm our faith that Jesus is in fact going to return. And it's this faith, this trust in the God of justice and mercy that is the oil for our lamps. It's our faith and our trust in God and in God's word that is the oil for our lamps. The wise bridesmaid keeps the vision of Christ's return and all that it stands for. The bridesmaid keeps that vision alive through their faithful waiting each day. By preparing for that day, the timing of which no one knows but God, they proclaim that God's promises are true. We too can claim those promises are true. We need to act out our hope in God and look forward to that day when God will establish justice and righteousness and peace on earth. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this very special day and this special service. We thank you for those that have been recognized, and I pray, Lord, for those that don't get recognition, those that serve day in and day out for a higher calling, that are now slogging through some of the gruesome and grim parts of the world doing their duty. I pray your blessing upon them. Help us to always be grateful for those that are willing to give so much. And Lord, I pray for the people here that as we wait for your second coming, help us to not grow discouraged. Help us to find hope and faith in you through the joy we share with one another, for the love that you surround us with through our church family, and with the blessings that we have in this community of Christ. We pray these things to you, Lord, in your precious Son's name. Amen.